You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, you're having a giggle making this podcast sound ridiculous. Let's go back to the football. Let's talk about the players and the team. And I know sometimes you find that a little bit boring, but we won a game at the weekend. We got 3 points. They're massive. Everton have just drawn with Crystal Palace. Luton lost at home to Man United. We're in reasonable shape considering we have a potential points deduction on its way. Let's be a little bit cheery today. Let's lift it up a little bit. And then I can pick a bone with you about something you've done earlier today. And I can do a review corner about your Nuno impression. And then we can get the hell out of here.
Red hot take is Tavares gets a goal before the end of the season. And it's an absolute worldie. And he'll only score one goal this season and it will be goal of the season.
Now that is a red hot take. Huge Forest all over the world shout out to the official NFFC supporters club of Philly, so Philadelphia. We watch all the matches at the Fairmont Tavern. That's pretty cool. Beer is a good breakfast. Go Trees. That's deadly. Huge shout out to them.
I imagine living in Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, I mean, imagine living in
It's so cool Dublin. Imagining as a UK resident the sort of 80s and 90s idea of what it would be like to be in America as a teenager, innit?
It's very cool.
Let alone a Forest fan. Sorry, it's an Irish or UK resident.
Well, yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's move on, okay? We've got NFFC Pittsburgh who wrote, just found some reception to get caught up. You Reds. It's a solid Forest all over podcast shout out though, eh? They're down in Tierra del Fuego province, or near there, near Puerto Williams, the bottom tip of Argentina, I believe. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, Chris, that's just a contender for when we first started this. And we had that fan on from the bush in South Africa, the guy in the military based in Hawaii. And that is a contender, the southern tip of Argentina.
I wrote back, oh yes, you'll be getting the Forest all over the world shout out. He wrote, excellent. We're leaving for Antarctica shortly and then driving back from here to Buenos Aires after. But this is NFFC Pittsburgh. He's based
in
Pittsburgh.
Get him to get a Nottingham Forest selfie from Antarctica, for goodness sake.
Okay, and then we have Yates County and said, was over that direction last month listening to the Blackpool match at 5,000 metres on the radio. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
5,000 metres high, you mean?
Yes. I mean, obviously, that's what they mean.
Did they specify where they were 5,000 metres up? Were they on a plane?
They were in the same place or close to that direction.
Hang on, is this all one person that you're discussing?
No, it's not all one person. This is someone else who's commented on that thing that was, you are useless.
So basically there are a load of Forest fans in the south of Argentina.
One Forest fan who is based in Pittsburgh was in the south of Argentina and someone else wrote in, you're wasting our time. Kyle Porter, Chicago, confidence definitely building. I'm home for Liverpool and convinced we'll get 3 points. Brilliant, Kyle. Huge shout out to you, Kyle. And speaking of the fan that was at the military base in Hawaii, John Michael, I believe is his name. He just got engaged in California there recently. So huge shout out to him. He was one of our first ever Forest of the World guests.
Yeah, I'd love to get him back on. Love to get him back on.
Yeah, we would love to have more Forest All Over the World fans on. Please come on.
I mean, it's cool to just dig out those people supporting Forest from all sorts of interesting places. Chris, let's move on to Greece. The reason I say Greece is because Clattenburg has got a new job. And I think that Marinakis is an absolute trailblazer.
Oh, God. Go on. So we're going to start with Clattenburg. We're going to talk about the fact that we just beat West Ham, won our first game in 5 Premier League matches. We're not going to talk about that at all. That's not going to come up for you, no?
I wasn't ruling anything out, but you clearly want to speak.
But surely we have to start with that. Surely that's what people have been waiting.
Go on, let's go.
Let's go then. We'll get to Clattenburg, okay? There will be a review corner later on in the episode. And we'll start off by talking about the fact that we kept a clean sheet at the weekend. Nuno Tavares and Williams were probably our two best players on the pitch, apart from Callum Hudson-Odoi, who was my man of the match. It was just amazing. Did you not think it was absolutely unbelievable that West Ham were really bad. They were really, really shite.
Yeah,
But we took advantage of that. Usually Forests mess up and somehow end up drawing those games nil all and go, oh, well, do you know what I mean? It was good.
It was refreshing to see what felt like real desire and aggression going forward. Like, it was really, really, that's what we've been wanting to see for a long time, isn't it? Aggressive forward play built on the bones of just desire, sheer commitment and desire. Loved it. Absolutely loved especially the makeup of the second goal. Brilliant. And you know what?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
We should have had a few goals, but mm-hmm. the one that was ruled out for Yatesy being offside, how was he involved with that?
Specifically that, I don't know. I have no idea. I think he was kind of close to the...
He was inside the goal, leaning on the post.
But then he moved around. But I agree. I don't think he was involved. That's one of the points. I mean, can I just be honest with you? That disallowed goal and the penalty that wasn't given, which was another disgrace. I have no idea. Like, those two decisions could have changed the whole game because all it would take is a Ward-Prowse corner or just a long ball up top for them to level. And that would have just ruined the game and part of our season.
This ties into why Marinakis is going, right. You're going to treat us like crap. I'm going to have to keep writing to PGMOL every week. Let Gary Neville have a little whingy whine at us because he's insecure and slightly envious about where we have come from and where we might still have to go. And I'm going to hire the manager, the referee that hates Forrest and Forrest hates the most just to make a point and trailblaze in this country because you watch people follow on suit. You watch it change. And I say...
So you believe that our ownership in doing this are trailblazers for doing this. That's what your belief is. It is a little bit... It feels a little bit silly because I don't even know what
his
role is.
Yeah, I bet Marinakis thinks it's silly. Because the PGMOL are bloody silly. Because VAR is bloody silly. Because Premier League referees are bloody silly. So he's going, all right, you want to do that? Here we go. And that's what no one gets.
What'll it achieve?
Nothing in the short term.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Nothing in the short
term.
So
you're just saying he's just... So basically putting someone on the wage bill for the laugh. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. It is really a diddle-doddle for him. What he's doing is he's starting a trend and he's letting people laugh at him at first, like he has done from start to finish. I heard someone making an amazing point on Forest Focus over the past couple of days about how everyone's so quick to mention his behaviour in the transfer market and yet no one talks about the brilliance of the signing of Nicolas Dominguez and what he's doing for such a low price. No one's talking about... No one's bringing up this Hudson-Odoi or maybe they are a bit on Sky, the old presenter, but they're so quick to comment on everything else and have a little side smirk and a wry smile. He's a legend. The man is going against the grain, and he's like a football owner artist, mate. I love him.
It's not just him. There's plenty of people behind the scenes that are doing that. I'm not reluctant to give him any credit. I just think you're literally going. No, there's no reluctance to give him credit. All right, I know
all of those people are nothing without him, and do you know what I mean?
Listen, Matt. There's a lot of things that have gone right for us over the last few years. And a lot of them are based around the fact that the ownership has backed the club. There's no question there. I'm delighted with that. I just think we're completely moving off into a tangent about something that isn't relevant to what you were originally saying. He's hired a referee for a job that you tell me is for the laugh.
If you're looking at it in isolation, you're looking at it in isolation. You're looking at it as like a thing. He's a smart guy, and it's a smarter move than all of us.
But, Matt, let's talk about what it's for. So why is Mark Clattenburg being hired? Let's get into that, because like that's what we want to talk about here. Why is he being hired?
It's like saying in a game of chess, why are you moving that pawn? Because that's all it is. Why are you moving that pawn? Because
you're not answering the question. You're giving me random, ridiculous, metaphorical circumstances. Forget chess. What is his role? Or is there a role? Is it for a laugh?
I honestly think it's because they've got a broken relationship with PGMOL. And
do you think that'll fix it?
It's going to make it awkward for them.
So why do we have a broken relationship with the PG, whatever it is?
Because they are not fit for purpose, scared to admit their faults, and Forrest have fallen to the wrong side of the sword. And you can't,
the wrong side of the sword. Do you think that they're conspiring against us?
That's not what I said. Genuinely. I said fallen wrong side of the sword. Everyone has an attitude. Everyone has natural bias that they might want to rail against. I didn't say there's conspiracy, but I do believe that. Why has there been no apology? Why are they laughing at us every time that Forrest have to write a letter? So Farax is probably sick of that, and he's going, "All right, we're playing chess. Well, I'm gonna do this."
Well, enough of chess. Let's get back to checkers for now, because I still don't know what you're talking about. And I think if there's anyone out there who can explain what Mark Clattenburg is doing for us, that'd be great, because there's other podcasts that probably already are doing a much better job than us.
It's probably to build a relationship. All the other stuff is just Matt Ranakis having a giggle, and now at the likes of Gary Neville and co. But yeah,
let's go back to the football. Okay, I'll ask you specific questions and we can move on. Okay, who would your player of the match be and why? Concise and quick, please. Go.
I have to give it to Nico Williams for that run at the end. That desire.
Just the run. Is that the only reason you're
giving
it to him?
Well, he had a great game. But
your relentless effort he had all day. He kept Kudus in his pocket.
Danilo had a brilliant game.
He did the right things.
There were so many people that had a great game, and I have to pick someone. And because of the way his contribution to the final goal, gave him the extra tally point, if you like. A load of people involved with that goal deserved it. I mean, the Origi flick, the Yates header to keep it up there, the Hudson-Odoi getting the goal. I mean, so many things. But Nico Williams' desire at that point shone out to me, and I was like, yeah, fair play to that kid.
Okay. And was there anything else? Any other? If you were to pick a second or a third player of the match, who would you go for? And why?
Danilo.
Go with your second.
Danilo for...
Danilo, why?
He just bossed it. He just took it up a notch, and I was impressed more that his shots on target looked far more threatening and professional and slick, and it's exciting. And I think if he keeps doing that, he's going to start getting his goals again.
I agree. I think it's not just about the
Dominguez
goals.
He
was playing a deeper role with Dominguez. They were pivoting really well. Dominguez was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I got dog's abuse for calling him poor in a game a few weeks ago. But I'll tell you this now. I'll straight up just say it. Absolutely unbelievable at the City Ground. Not just for his hassling and harrying. His positioning was brilliant. He found himself on the edge of the box a couple of times. They've worked on that in training, clearly. One of those times, he had a brilliant first touch and laid it straight into Taiwo, who had an even better first touch, who scored the goal. Dominguez was excellent. The two of them were brilliant. And what really strikes me about those two being brilliant is we still have Sangare to come back, and we still are yet to see the best Ryan Yates this season. And I'm excited because you have four midfielders there that can play in all different combinations with each other. And that's really exciting to have rotational pull within those middle two. What about Hudson-Odoi? Tell me about Hudson-Odoi now.
Tell you about Hudson-Odoi. Well, he's clearly growing into the player we want him to be. All I can say is, like I said earlier, what a buy. What a smart move by our over-busy buying owners. What a brilliant move by them. What a wonderful purchase. I think he's...
3 million. By the way, we're in the middle of this, but I'm just going to say this now. You really do have a bee in your bonnet about the media, the pundits, the people criticising our club. You've been watching material this week, surely.
Yeah, because
about
I listen to it and you can tell that people are jumping on bandwagons. They're not looking at the details. They're just spouting big numbers and having a giggle because that's sort of a little get out for pundits. I don't know if you call it pundits or presenters, because it's not all of them. but it's a lot of them. And you just go, you know, you, don't, a lot of you them don't know what you're talking
some
about.
Some of the time
you should
each.
Shut up and you should just go, hang on, I feel like I should say this about Forrest, but I don't actually know. And I need to look at them with a magnifying glass. You know what it is? It's because the bigger what? Clubs are more fashionable and more popular, and their fan bases and their media people and their pundits, etc., etc. They're not used to a club like Forest coming up. Like, it's safe when Bournemouth come up. It's safe if Fulham come up. It's safe if Luton come up. It's safe with all these clubs come up, go down, Norwich's, West Brom's. Nottingham Forest are back. And they all know that actually there's something there that you can't buy and that other clubs can't have. Man United fans can't ever have this. In fact, they might not have what they need back ever again. We've got it all to play for because we're all right having a more diverse and versatile set of experiences. Do you know what I mean? We're not backed into the corner of having to win. And yet we still actually because of who we are. We've got a really desirable fan base. Really desirable.
We definitely do. Yeah. We definitely.
So people like Neville are going, oh, it's cool that they're back, but they're like, oh, hang on. We're challenging the status quo, not by doing anything clever, but Marinakis is. And that's what they don't like. And Nottingham Forest is a brand, and he knows about branding. And it's that, Chris. It's that is making them all wobble, and that they can't wait to put us down. And that includes people that make decisions in the game.
Wow, you made about three or four points in one there. I was on the bandwagon of your first point, and I wanted to just jump in and say that is an incredible point to say that people are you almost believe that people are jealous of the Forest experience.
No, they're not sure how to take it.
Let me speak for a second.
They've grown with the boom of football over the past 25 years, and we're just old giants that fell away, and we're a bit funny, and we're stupid owners that kept making loads of mistakes, and it has been horrible. But it's built. We're a sleeping giant, and we're a beast that's been awakened, and that's terrifying.
We'll leave it at that. We'll move back to the game because that was interesting. That was Jesus. You had me rallied up for a second there. It's true, and we've done something that only two English clubs have done. That's back-to-back European Cups, and City are going to try and do that again this year. Although it'll feel very manufactured, obviously, because of the circumstances. Now, look, let's just get back to the game for a second. We're going to cruise back to it briefly, and then we'll get out of it, okay? But I have to praise Tavares. And you know what surprised me the most about Nuno Tavares? His defensive ability. I think I wrote something before the game saying, I hope Nuno Tavares focuses on his defense today, and his defensive efforts were unbelievable. I mean, Bowen didn't really get a sniff, and I'm pretty sure he was on that side, or maybe he was kind of half through the middle, half to the right. In fact, Williams on Kudus destroyed him, got him an early yellow card. I think he got him an early yellow card, but he destroyed him. Murillo on Antonio, ridiculous. No one outstrengths Antonio on Antonio's good day. Murillo destroyed him. And then Tavares and Bowen, the three of them just, I would not have expected that. From that, well, I would have expected from Murillo. He's absolutely class. But yeah, unbelievable. Big shout outs to them.
Why do people,
no
why mention do people
the goalkeeper
say
in the game,
we should,
what
why do people say we should? He won't be playing for us much longer. How much truth is there in that? Do you believe
Murillo?
Yeah,
because I believe he could be a world class player.
So what are the options? Like, why would Marinakis sell him this summer? Because that's what it feels like people are suggesting.
I mean, I believe he is a world-class player, but that's another debate.
Do you think when people say
one,
he's
yeah.
not going to be with us for much longer, do they mean the rest of the season, or do you think we're going to get another year or two out of him before he goes?
Well, I think that they mean at the end of this season, a big team will come in for him and will spend money to buy him, and we will sell because the money will be too much to turn down. That's what I think.
Right.
That's what everyone thinks.
What do you think right now, if it was right now, the money should be?
It'll be 3-4 months from now in the summer. But if you were to tell me how much, just like, are you asking me for my valuation, or are you asking me for what the Premier League sort of top six will value him at?
Yeah, Premier League top six.
He's minimum 50 million. Minimum.
But
He's 20.
He's more valuable
he's
than Brennan Johnson, isn't he?
Hang on. He's a 21-year-old centre-back who is... He could be player of the match every... He could be man of the match every single game that he plays. He's 20, and he's just come to the Premier League. absolute, like, unbelievable ability. Maybe his aerial ability is lacking a bit, but maybe that's just what people are saying because he's so good everywhere else. I don't even know. He's brilliant, right? 50 million minimum. His ceiling is 100 million. That's where his ceiling is. And I mean that. Declan Rice money. Declan Rice money.
And I mean, yeah. I don't know if I'd, would you not rather see him play with us as we continue as a reawakened sleeping giant beast that I described as us earlier?
Of course I would, but you know that the money means that we can stay within these stupid FFP parameters that they seem to have.
But what, like, can we, you know, really buy having, with...
It's not just about buying, it's about making the profit and balancing the books as well.
Yeah, you know
I mean,
true.
It cleans everything up. So, anyway, moving on through the game. Look, let's just quickly talk about the two goals, okay? Taiwo's goal. I mean, is that a Taiwo goal or is that a Taiwo goal?
Yeah,
I mean, just turning their defender, strength, power, spinning it into the back of the net, making it look easy.
And then getting his psalms out for everyone to read.
Love it. Do a hallelujah.
Here. Same absolute here. I mean, I'm...
Get me to the church. I love him so much.
Me to the church with Taiwo.
I believe in Taiwo, and I believe in... We all believe in one church, and it's with Taiwo in the Taiwo church.
Yeah.
That's what you can name.
Well, we don't all. You Taiwo can't speak on behalf of everyone. You've got to be careful with that kind of stuff, Christo.
Oh, God. I'm talking about you and me, and I'm talking about Nottingham Forest. Stop winding me up.
Okay, listen.
Anyway.
Taiwo is great, but you've got to share some of that credit with Dominguez, mate. That was a lovely pass.
I did. I already told you that Dominguez made that amazing pass. It was unbelievable. It wasn't just the pass. It was the touch to me because the ball came down and he just first time touch controlled it. The pass actually was a little bit high, but he had to lift it in with pace. Otherwise, it wouldn't have got through. Tyro's touch was just sublime. Took it away from the defender.
How good was Areola, mate? Especially in the first half with just that Morgan Gibbs-White.
I mean, they were all point blank saves. There were point blank saves. Alanga's point blank save, Morgan Gibbs-White shot, point blank saves, or point blank saves. He was good, but they were point blank saves. Right? And he made an absolute meal of the disallowed goal at the end of the game. No, he did all right, but like, you know, just because you're racking up save points on fantasy football doesn't mean that the keeper's playing brilliant.
I was when we were 1-0 up. It's getting near the clock. I was going, oh, I hope Forrest don't score again.
Like... You absolute snake in the grass. Anyway, listen, the second goal, Divock Origi's flick. You know, I think Williams' desire to get... I thought it went a bit beyond for Williams to even get to it, but he skipped it around the defender. And then put the ball in. Obviously, Alanga clipped him, and then Hudson-Odoi did.
We talk about Nuno coming into suddenly becoming a player that everyone's going, oopsie, maybe the new Renan Lodi rather than Montiel.
Nuno Tavares, yeah.
Nuno Tavares is so.
Yeah, well, it's early days, but yeah. I mean, like, it's Lodi started to turn it around before Christmas, right? Nuno
Tavares. Yeah, true.
He hasn't really gotten the team.
True,
he's taken a bit longer, you know.
If any, I mean, in terms of fickle fan bases and like football people, like. He's really shutting us up, isn't he? After that performance, if he can keep that up and then get this wonder goal we're predicting, then that's exciting stuff. Listen,
I still believe that Aina's our best left back. But like, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's see. These guys have got a lot of work to do if they want to join this team. Do you play this team against Aston Villa, the team that beat West Ham?
Because they're on form, you do. But there's one player I bring in.
Who for who?
I would bring, even though Danilo had a brilliant game, I would bring Sangari in for Danilo and play Sangari and Dominguez. Sangari has the capability to be, you know, one of the best players on the pitch if he plays to his ability. You know, like I think it was Newcastle.
Can he be bothered?
Was the last game he played? He was really good, and I just think he's really he hasn't done it consistently this season at all. But he's just come off the back of a win with Ivory Coast. His confidence will be up. Throw him straight back into an away game against Villa and let him try and, you know, stick it to them in the midfield. He did it against West Ham when we lost 3-2. I remember in that game he was very, very good. We just lost, so it wasn't highlighted. Yeah, I'd bring Zankari back in, rest Danilo for a little bit and bring him on for impact if needs be.
Oh, but Danilo's efforts from outside the box, if some of them go in, he's going to start making a name for himself properly on a wider scale. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean
the disallowed one.
Of course,
should have been allowed.
He scored one of the goals of the season. He scored one of the goals of the season against Brentford. So like he's capable of scoring those type of goals. And that effort again was point blank save, but it was a fierce effort. So against West Ham there. But yeah, look, anyway, let's march on into something a little bit different here. We're moving to Villa because I'm not gonna be able to get back with the Forest All Over the World fan till later on in the week. So let's just move into a bit of Villa, talk a little bit about it and their form and stuff. This episode's been all over the place.
It hasn't. Primarily because we've talked about we've caught up about Forest, we've talked about West Ham, and now we're talking about Aston Villa.
Let's get into something before we get into Villa. I noticed today I got a message from a listener, Dave Sanders, right, legend. And he said, oh, I heard them shout out Matt on the Forest Focus podcast. I went, oh, really? Oh, that's cool. And they shouted you out. And then I didn't really register with me. And then Matt Davies messaged me. He said, what's Matt's second name? And I told him, okay, yeah, he signed up as a member. So he's paid a fee. Okay, that's good. Where are my fees for all the mugs that I've sent out? Where are my fees, Matt?
Mate.
Where are my fees for the fees that I pay for the website that we don't use? Where are they?
It's like a couple of quid a month and he produces content every day that I enjoy listening to and watching. I fantasized about you knowing about it and getting annoyed about it and was like, sadly, he won't care because he'll think it's the right thing to do and he probably won't even know.
Oh,
I'm really pleased.
Well, I'll tell you,
I'm really pleased that this has happened.
Never underestimate the power of me getting annoyed at you. Ever. Right? No, look, honestly, I don't care. Like, I think it's actually quite nice that you did that. But yeah,
well,
I just thought to myself, hang on a second. Matt's giving me nothing. But as in you have given me nothing. Right, no, but that's nice. I'll send a donation as well, and then you can do me a favor and pay me for half of everything that I've done so far for the last 4 years, and I won't pay you for your time because you don't deserve it. Okay, so look, Villa, they're sort of up and down at home. I think they lost to Man United when they sort of dominated the game. They played Fulham the other day and beat them away from home. Great result. They seem to feel less pressure away from home. They're going for the top five. Top five get Champions League this year, most likely, I think. And right now, I think it's top four, top five, because the way that new system works. But Villa, Emery has them playing really well. But they didn't just... It's like Newcastle. Newcastle built a really good momentum, and then this year they were kind of found out of touch in that you could kind of get at them. I think Villa are in a similar position. Watkins is playing the best football of his life, but they have players like McGinn in the middle of the park who could always switch off. You know, I actually genuinely think we have a chance of getting at them. We beat them 2-0 at home, so why can't we beat them 2-0 away? Do you want to tell me why?
I predicted that we'd do the double over them when we did our pathway episode a few episodes back. And yeah, I stand by it. I think we can. I mean, I am anxious because we've just done a win. I really hope we can't afford any more complacency, to be honest. We just can't afford it at all. And we have to bank on Nuno being... Like, he must be looking at the table going, gosh, it's all exciting, but we are still only fourth bottom. And people have got games in hands above us and below us. And do you know what I mean? And the potential points deduction. We're so in trouble still, despite the positive feeling. And I think if we can get another win and other results go our way, that's when we can really start being full of ourselves again. And I think that the team can really move forward. But back-to-back wins against the two claret and blue sides, two of the three claret and blue sides, then that's... I mean, the colour of the shirts has nothing to do with it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we
basically need back-to-back wins. It's important because what we did against Newcastle and Man United really, that was before we knew about the potential points deduction, but it really looped us up and gave us confidence. And then obviously we fell away, and now we're kind of trying to feel get back in the mix of the feel good vibes, especially with all these players coming back from AFCON and, you know, Taiwo's back and, you know, I know Chris Wood's out, but other than that, we have quite a lot of players back. Felipe was brilliant there against West Ham. I know he made a mistake early in the first half. Murillo's brilliant tackle on him, but, you know, it's good to have these players back. I think that we have a chance against Villa. My pathway prediction so far since they started the Bournemouth game were draw against Bournemouth, which came true, loss against Newcastle, which came true, win against West Ham, which came true. And my prediction for this game was a draw, and I would take a draw. I would take a draw. So
a draw would, yeah, I would, but then we've got Liverpool, I think. So yeah.
Yeah, but we beat Liverpool at home last year and we can do it again. And they're missing an awful lot of players. They've got a cup final on the Sunday. They've got a Luton game midweek.
I think Jota's injured.
Jota
would definitely score against us.
Yeah, Jota's injured. Jones might be injured. Trent and Alisson might still be injured. Salah's just come back. He may, I don't know, I heard some rumours that he might be in, out of the Luton game. Maybe that's to save him for the final. Nunes came off at halftime. They're in trouble in a weird way. I know they had a great game against Brentford, but they are, you can get at them. You can definitely get at them, and they'll probably feel the pressure of Man City as Man City start to ramp things up, you know? So yeah, I think we could definitely get at Liverpool. I'm not as concerned about Liverpool as I would be, funnily enough, about the Villa away game, because Villa are like, they really need that win.
I think Forest are going to, looking at our forward players now, if concentration levels are up, if Nuno Tavares can play like he has been, so many ifs and ifs and buts, and everyone's probably thinking the same thing, but we just have to hope that they're full of belief and they're going to go for it, and they're not scared of the looming danger. And my gosh,
absolutely.
We need our other points to start going our way. I'm really lucky that Palace and Everton drew, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we're not lucky. It was a good, listen, that's the way, that's the nature of the Premier League. We kind of all expected a draw, to be honest, from that game. Two poor sides going at it, both low on confidence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Palace like, got that new manager there. Now though, haven't they?
Yeah, well, look, I don't want to talk about that, sorry. I just want to get, because I want to move on, because I can see the time ticking over here, right?
Welcome to Review Corner.
How did you know that was coming?
It's a feeling, mate, it's a feeling. Just get on with it.
Welcome to the Review Corner. There were so many people writing in about your Nuno impression, by the way. So many people. I mean, I had Elliot say, Matt's Nuno impression is scarily good. I had just numerous people. We had... I thought the Nuno impression was top notch, but perhaps you don't agree, Chris. That was from Jace. We had Bruce, Matt's Nuno impression was incredible. From Maples here, and Chris flippantly pushing Omobama Deli because he's Irish, and Matt giving Forrest his points. I think she's referring to driving points there. Best dog walk yet. We had Stuart, who said the Cooper impression was passable. The Nuno impression started well, but ended up being a bit Apu from The Simpsons. You're going to like this one. This is from JJ, who didn't like your Steve Cooper impression at all. So I was worried for you.
I hate to say this, but Matt's Nuno impression is absolutely incredible. However, he does go a bit Nelson Mandela at one point, but it is pretty damn good. And it hurts me to say it. I'm so sorry.
Because he's Team Chris. That's great.
Because he knows that I'll get annoyed that people are sending in these things about your impression.
Nuno speaks with darker L's than I was giving him, and it was a bit of a first ever attempt, and I'll work on it for next time we have an argument about what he means, and that's when we'll use it to get to the bottom of something, Chris, rather than me just doing it for the hell of it, because it's just not what we want.
Yeah. Okay, we get it. Right, so can we go into our score predictions of Aston Villa then? We're out of the Review Corner. We're back to Villa. Score predictions for the game this weekend. Give me a score prediction from Villa now.
I think we go and we win 2-0 again.
It's a clean sheet at Villa Park. Yeah.
We've got Murillo to nullify Watkins. As you say, they're going to have a ropey game against us. They're going to feel a bit nervous about the sleeping giant come into town, and I can see us surprising everyone again. No one gave us a chance to get a clean sheet.
Who's scoring the two goals for us?
I'm going to say that we get Gibbs White gets the second, and it'll be some headed goal from a defender at the beginning from someone
like Matt Sells or something. The goalkeeper's going to go for a corner for the laugh. You come up with these ridiculous
Dominguez. Things. Dominguez heads it in or kicks it in, and then we get a Gibbs White goal in the second half. I'm nervous that we don't have Taiwo for the game.
But we do.
But we might not.
No, we do. Because in the interview, he said he's fine.
Yeah, but in recent news since then.
And he's fine.
Have you not read the news? The doubts for the game are Taiwo, Montiel, and who was it? Someone else that was already injured.
Who said the doubts? Was this
it's
one
on
of those?
Knox Post, mate. It's fantastic. On Knox Post. What's your score prediction?
My score prediction. My heart says 2-2, and my head says 1-1. So both say a draw, and we'll draw. Because my pathway also says draw, and I'm sticking
to
the pathway.
To pathway.
The pathway keeps us up. Well, are you sticking to your pathway? Because you message me every week telling me how brilliant you think Luton are. Luton couldn't beat Man United at home. Luton couldn't beat Sheffield United at home. We beat them both at home. And we are going to beat Luton away. And with that, give me the Forest All Over the World shout out.
You can follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on...
All over on Twitter. We'll try and do better next time. Matt probably won't. I'll keep in line. We'll roll on that. See you later, Matt.
Bye-bye, guys. See you, Chris.
Bye-bye, Matt.
Sports Social Podcast Network.